I want you to open with me in the book of Genesis chapter 37. And I want to thank you once again for the privilege and honor that has been given to me to come and share with you as we open the scriptures together. Now, when I heard our brother speak last night, and he was giving you the overview of the life indeed of Joseph, I say, what more can I say? Because he has nearly all of the situation covered in that one message. And yet there are many things that I do believe that as we study the scriptures that we can find, because the life of Joseph is an inspiring and instructive one. And the story of Joseph really starts in earnest at this 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, Joseph at this time was 17 years of age, where we come to this passage of God's Word. He was raised in the home of a wealthy patriarch, and yet he falls into slavery. And you know, Joseph proves that no matter who you are, and no matter what part and situation in life you are, every one of God's children faces the trials of life and experiences the valleys of life's experience. The book of Job chapter 14, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." And that is true for each and every one of us, because as the hymn writer says, it's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. Someone suggested that you either are going into trouble, you're going through trouble, or you're coming out of trouble. Because the Bible says, man that is born of woman, few days and full of trouble. And yet we find that in all of these troublesome situations in Joseph's life, in the 110 years that this young man and older man lived, there is nothing recorded in the Word of God that tells us that Joseph ever took his eyes off the Lord, irrespective of the situation, in good times, in bad times, in hard times, difficult times, just as well in days of prosperity. He trusted the Lord, as I sang a moment ago, through it all. And friend, I want you to understand this, that you can trust the Lord no matter what the situation that you are, find yourself in. God wants you to trust Him. You know, Joseph experienced days of prosperity, and yet we find that the prosperity they experienced did not ruin his character. It can, you know. Many a man, because of prosperity, his character has been destroyed. But it didn't destroy the character of Joseph. Neither did adversity, which is the other side of the coin, neither did adversity embitter him in his life. And the wonderful thing about Joseph was this, that whether it was in public or whether it was in private, he was still the same. And that's a wonderful testimony to have. That no matter what your situation or where you are, in public or private, Joseph remained faithful to God. But you know, life taught Joseph many lessons. And I believe with all my heart that life will teach you as well as me. I can prove it in my life. Life has taught me many lessons as well. He was the only child, when his father decided to leave Laban, his father-in-law and uncle, to return to his own father. He was around 5 or 6 years of age at that time. And he learns and experiences there, because the family moved out from Laban's house. They went in haste. And then Laban followed after. And Joseph, as that young age, did not understand fully why the haste to leave his grandfather's house. Why his father was so quickly taking him away. And then, of course, the Bible tells us that Laban caught up with Joseph and his father and the rest of the family. And he could hear the two men, it's recorded in chapter 31, he heard the two men quarrel together. Laban didn't like Jacob leaving his home so quickly. He felt deserted, and so the two men, they quarreled together. But he also witnessed how they sorted it out. And that's also important, because if you have differences with somebody else, it's important to sort it out. Don't leave it there. Because, you see, if you do not sort those differences out, friend, let me tell you, they will fester. And so therefore the two men, here is a young impressionable child at 5 or 6 years of age, and he hears his father and his grandfather, and they're arguing together. There seems to be a difference of opinion here. And it seems to be a somewhat bitter for a moment. But they sort it out. And they enter into a covenant together. That's what life taught them. And then life also, another experience, he remembers a time whenever Esau, his uncle, was coming, and they heard that his uncle was coming. Turn to chapter 32. And in chapter 32 it says, in verse number 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people which was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands. And here's this young man, this young lad. And he sees the fear written upon the face of his father. When he hears that his uncle is coming, his father is afraid and dismayed. Then he sees his father taking action. And he divides the company of people up. And he sends the sons of of Bilhah and Zilpah on, and then he sends after that Leah and her children, and then finally his mum and Joseph. And they pass over the brook. But his father stays behind. The father sends them on. It says in verse number 24, chapter 32, and Jacob was left alone. His father has been left alone. He has sent them all over. You see, he's in a moment of distress. He's afraid and dismayed and distressed. And he's alone. And he wrestles with God that night. And whenever Joseph sees his father again, there's something different about his father. His father's limping. He's limping. Because that night something happened. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Whenever Joseph saw his father again, he was limping. And he said, what's wrong, father? What's happened? Well, son, something happened in my life since I was with you. God brought me into submission. God broke me. Friend, let me tell you, that's an important thing. An important lesson, to allow God to break you. To allow God to bring you into submission. Then he heard his father in the next chapter, because his father goes on. Thank God his father has been turned from the twister that he was, and he's been turned, and God has given him a new name, Israel, a prince of God. Man had power with God. Friend, surely, that's what we desire from these meetings, that we might have part with God. But to have that, you and I will have to be broken. Our stubborn will have to be broken. We've got to be brought into submission with God. And then he heard his father acknowledge in chapter 33. He acknowledged the goodness of God in his painful experience. Verses 10 and 11, chapter 33. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. That's when he met Esau. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I have seen the face of God, and thou hast been pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. Just thinking about those words when I was reading them again last night. He came to the place where he said, because I have enough. You know, sometimes that's a problem with us. We feel we can never have enough. But he came to the place where he realized that God had been gracious with me. And he said, listen, take the blessing. He was willing to hand over something of the blessing which God had given him. And he acknowledges the goodness of God. And so these are experiences in Joseph's life. Varied experiences then become unto his personal life. We see him at home, in the place of provision. We see him in the pit. We'll see him in Potiphar's house. We'll see him in prison. We'll see him in the palace. Yes, we'll see him in all these places as we study God's word through these chapters in the book of Genesis. But here's the important thing. Irrespective of where we see Joseph, he's conscious of the presence of the Lord. And friend, that is so important that you and I live in such a way that we live conscious of the presence of the Lord. There's a little verse and it says, God knows, God loves, God cares. Nothing this truth shall dim. God gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him. And I believe that that's what Joseph experienced in his life. Because no matter where he was, whether it was in the place of provision at home, or in the pit, or in Potiphar's house, or in the prison, or in the palace, he knew he was in the presence of the Lord. And he believed that God was always working on his behalf, irrespective of what his situation was. Even though, at times, that was hard to see. Now, I want to go back to the chapter 37. And as I think about this chapter 37, we find Joseph, as I said, he's 17 years of age. And can I say about Joseph this? In many ways, Joseph would have been a lonely boy. You say, but how could he be a lonely boy? Because there are 11 sons here in this family at this particular time. He was the 11th son of Jacob. He was born in Haran. How could he therefore feel lonely? Now, Joseph was loved by his father. But there's something about this boy, let me tell you. Whilst he was loved by his father and had the special care and attention of his father, he wasn't a spoilt son. He wasn't a lazy son. He was a son that was willing to do his father's will, irrespective of what that meant. And from an early age, all the boys of Jacob were taught the lesson of their father's trade. They worked in the field. And Joseph went to work. And that's where we find him in verse number 2. It says they were feeding the father's flock. And Joseph, at 17 years of age, was feeding his father's flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. That was Dan and Naphtali and Gad and Asher. And whilst they were sons of Jacob, I say to him, they were not the natural companions for Joseph, because Joseph was the godly young man. But think of the boys that he was with there out in the field. There was Naphtali. There was Gad. There was Asher. There was Dan. Joseph wasn't a part of their team, because they were different. They were not godly young men like him. And so therefore he faced the temptation that many young people face today. And it's this. the temptation to conform to what others are doing. A lot of young people here, let me tell you, as you go out into the world, you will face that temptation to conform to what others are doing. It's difficult to take a stand and to do what's right for God. And so there's this temptation for him to conform. These brothers sought to squeeze Joseph into their mold. You see, they were away from the father's eyes. They were out there in the fields. There was Dan. Clever Dan. He was the lad that had the ability to take a person down to size. He was a lad that was cunning. He twisted the facts. And you meet those kind of folks. Clever Dan. And then there was carefree Naphtali. He was the hind let loose. He was a person that was wild. He was hard to control. He was hard to govern. He was hard to restrain. He hated restriction. And then we have Billy and Gad. His name means troop. He was a boy that felt safe when he was in the gang. He was a lad that was willing to pick a fight, but of course he was always careful. When he was going to pick the fight, he was always going to have others with him. In reality, he was a coward. And then there was Livid Up Asher. He loved the riches and pleasures of life. He indulged in pleasures, eat, drink, and be merry. So I said, these were not the natural company for Joseph. Joseph was different. And among this company, Joseph, in many ways, feels alone. But there is a temptation to conform. The Word of God tells me in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world. And let me tell you, the world will try to squeeze you into their standards and into their ways. And young people, I warn you, the world will try to make you conform to what they want. But God requires you to take a stand. And then there was something else. There's the pressures to conceal, because many people do Joseph a disservice. Look at verse number 2. It says, they're out there in the field. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And so here we find Joseph comes back to his father, having been with these four boys, his stepbrothers. And as he comes back, he reports to his father. And the Bible says that he brought unto his father their evil report. And some people say, you know, he was a tittle-tattle. Runs home to father to tell stories. Let me tell you, my friend, Joseph was not a tale-teller. He was a truth-teller. And when he saw the corrupt actions of his brothers, he had a sensitive conscience and love for his father. He had a sense of responsibility, and therefore he brought the report, not the report of the actions of a revengeful brother. Indeed, later on we'll see that Joseph had the opportunity to revenge his brothers, but he rejected it. He wasn't trying to improve his image with his father, because he didn't need to do that. His father loved him. He didn't fabricate a story about what his brothers were doing. No, he simply told the truth. And the Bible says the truth shall set you free. And whenever he came home to his father, friend, Joseph took a stand against the evil. That's what it was. His evil report. He was taking a stand against the evil of his brothers. And Jacob needed to know. Now, I've I'm the father of 5 children. And I know this, friend, let me tell you, there's many a person will talk about your children. They don't often talk to you about them. But they'll talk to others about them. And it's far better that a father and a mother who loves their children knows the truth about them. Because they can help them. But you can't help if you don't know. And here is this young man, and he knows the truth. And he believed that his father had the right to know. And Joseph would have been wrong to fail to tell his father the truth. See, a talebearer usually tells the wrong person. Talebearers usually tell evil things to those who will spread it, not stop it. That's the difference. And so he brought this report to his father. And because of it, his brothers, verse number 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. If the parents here in this gathering, I think you've got to be careful when you're raising children to love them all. Because it seems to be that the Bible tells us that the father loved Joseph. It doesn't tell us that he had the same love for the rest of them. And you can divide a family very easily. You've got to be careful. And share your love. Now, every one of my children, every one of them is different. Not only in shapes and sizes and looks and all the rest, but they're different. They're different. But I love them. They're my children. And friend, let me tell you, there are no favorites with God. God loves every one of us. And I'll tell you how much God loves us. If you look at the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said this, Father, you love them whom you have given me, just the same as you love me. I think that's an amazing statement. That God loves you like he loved his son. And so here we see a family in many ways, a family that is divided. And this young man takes a stand. And for that he's hated. I suppose in many ways it is true that he was sustained through these difficult situations by the love of his father. But the brothers couldn't conceal their hatred. They couldn't conceal their bitterness. And the Bible says there that whenever they could not speak peaceably, verse 4, they could not speak peaceably unto him. In other words, when they spoke to him, they were stubborn, they were cross, or ill-mannered. They were angry. Not a wonderful home situation, is it? That's why I say Joseph must have been a lonely boy. Because he was a godly young man. Remember those that are here in this gathering today, and you're from a family that's not saved. And maybe it's difficult to live in that situation. Let me tell you, God can give you the grace to live wherever you're placed. He has set us together in families, but you must live Christ in your home. No matter how difficult the situations that you may have to face. And the reality is this, the situation only got worse because something happened. Now God gave Joseph a dream. It says he dreamed 2 dreams. And in reality, these were revelations from God, friend. And God was revealing unto Joseph his will. And I believe that these dreams that God had given him, perhaps Joseph didn't fully understand the depth of the meaning of these dreams. But I believe that they're always out there. Never forgot them. And once again, it was the Word of God through these dreams. You see, as our brother said last night, he hadn't got a Bible like you and I have. But God gave him a dream. And he knew that that was of God. He didn't understand the depths of it, but he knew that this was a word from the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. Not only did he know that there was something about these dreams, the brothers knew there was something about these dreams. Because remember, whenever Joseph went to his brothers, as we'll see in a moment, they said, "Here comes the dreamer." And whenever they put him down into the pit, what did they refer to? Verse 20 of chapter 37. "Come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." They never forgot those dreams. And they despised him because of the dream that God had given him. And they knew that somehow that God was going to elevate Joseph. But they were not willing. They were adamant that he would never rule over them. Now let me tell you, God blesses every one of his children, but sometimes God elevates a child to a position, one of his children to a position. And maybe it's a higher position in life than what you're in. Friend, don't get jealous. Don't get jealous of what God's doing in that other brother's life. You thank God for that. Because God has a purpose and plan for that person. And you let God have his way in that brother's life. And you let God have his way in your life. And be happy wherever God puts you. Whatever position that God puts you in. You be happy to go with God. And so we find that whilst his brothers spoke angrily to Joseph, it never records that Joseph spoke angrily in return. I tell you, that takes grace. That takes God's grace. And Joseph was happy, even though not only did his brothers rebuke him concerning the dreams and be angry with him, but his father rebuked him. See, his father, even though he had entered into a covenant with God, even though he was now called a prince with God, yet his father couldn't see what God was doing in Joseph's life. And his father rebuked him. But the father also knew there was something of God here. And he watched to see what God was doing. But Joseph did not rebuke his father. Joseph did not rebuke his brothers. Joseph was happy to leave it all in the hands of God. And then there's another lesson. Sometimes, you know, we get angry with people. And if they're angry with us, that we want to hit them back and we want to get our own back on them. You know a good lesson? Leave it with God. Leave it with God. Because quite often, you see, when we do it in the flesh, we make a mess of it. Just hand it over to the Lord. And if someone has hurt you, and someone has been bitter with you, and someone has been angry with you, and someone has tried to destroy you, listen, we have got to leave our lives completely in the hands of God. And that's exactly what he did. There was a temptation to conform, there was a pressure to conceal, and then there's the demand to consecration. You know, one day the father, let's go to verse number 12, or verse number 10, verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said unto him, here I am. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flock, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and they came to Shechem. Now Shechem was the place where Jacob's sons had a history of getting into trouble. But the father was concerned about the welfare of his sons. He wasn't indifferent to their welfare. And so he sends Joseph on a mission of mercy. See whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks. To seek their good, in other words. And Joseph was sent not to censure, but to seek their welfare. Now when his father said to him, come, I will send thee unto them, he said to him, here am I. Now Joseph knew about his brother's hatred. He knew his brothers wouldn't want to see him. He knew how angry his brothers were with him. He knew the dangers that would confront him. And yet when his father said, come, I'll send you. Listen, without a shadow of doubt, friend, he said, Father, here am I. He was willing to go. He was willing to do his father's will. He was totally surrendered to his father's will. You see, real service for God, friend, starts with submission. And I ask you this morning as we gather around the Word of God, it's easy to sing the words where he sends, where, you know, what he says I will do and where he sends I will go, never fear, no, only trust and obey. A different thing to do it. Are you willing to go anywhere? I remember some years ago there was a lad in Belfast and God was speaking to him and dealing with his life, and he was walking down Royal Avenue in the city of Belfast, and he was handing out gospel tracts, and the Lord was dealing with his heart, and he said, God was calling him to the mission field, and he said to the Lord, God, I'll go anywhere. God, I'll go anywhere. And then he said, I'll go anywhere but China. You know what God said? You know what's interesting? You mentioned China. Because that's where I want you to go. Isn't it amazing? I'll go anywhere but. And the place that he mentioned, God says, that's the place. The father sent Joseph on a journey of mercy, but he faced difficulties on that way. But he's willing to go. And so he heads to Shechem. And when he comes there, verse number 15, a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he says, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed thence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found him in Dothan. Let me tell you, Joseph had a good excuse. Father says, go to Shechem. And he went to Shechem. His brothers are not there. He could have easily said, right, I've obeyed my father's will. Turned, I'll go back home. And he didn't do it. Because his father says, go, see whether it be well with thy brethren. And he was willing to fulfill his father's will completely. And he went after to see his brethren. He went to Dothan. And whenever he was making his way towards them, and it says in verse 18, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And then they mocked him, and they said one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Imagine, They so hated him, they wanted to kill him. This was his brethren. And friend, let's not make any mistakes about this. Let me tell you, when brethren fall out, it can be a dangerous thing. Sad reality is, many a brother in the Lord, he falls out with another brother or a sister to a sister, and let me tell you, there's so much hatred in their hearts against them, they would do anything to destroy them. What a tragedy. But it's true. The Bible says that we're to love one another. And sometimes God's children are not very lovable. And sometimes it's very hard to love some. But we're still to do it. And so we find that whenever he was making his way towards his brethren to see their welfare, on this mission of mercy sent from his Father, by his Father, they desired to kill him. Now, of course, Reuben speaks up, and verse 21, Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." Reuben said, "Shed no blood." Someone has suggested that probably Reuben remembered the story of what happened to Cain when he rose up against his brother. And his punishment was greater than he could bear. Reuben knew that they were doing wrong. He had a good objective in delivering his brother, friend, but he hadn't the courage to rebuke his brethren openly and do the right. And there's many a person, and they know what is right, but they're not willing to stand up and declare it. And the sad reality is, there are many preachers stand in the pulpit today, and they know what is right, they know the truth of the Word of God, friend, but the fear of man makes that preacher act as a coward, and he's not willing to preach the Word of God as it really is. He's not willing to take a stand. And they took Joseph and they cast him into a pit. And then, let me tell you, the Bible tells us, if you go just for a moment to chapter 42, verse 21, concerning that. It says, "And they said one to another, 'We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us.'" They threw him into the pit for him. And can you imagine this godly young man being thrown into a pit and they're talking about slaying him? And the Bible records the anguish of his soul. He begged his brother, his brothers. But what did they do? Chapter 37, verse 25. They sat down to eat bread. That's the hardness. That's what bitterness does to them. They're so hard. They sit there and they eat bread, and the brother down there in the pit is begging them. And they strip him of that coat of many colors. And they dip it in blood. And they sit down to eat bread. Now we've got to draw to a close this morning in the session, but let me tell you this. What does this passage tell me? See all those details. See all the details of everything they did, friend. That proves to me that God knew everything. that happened to Joseph. Every single detail. God knew it all. And God recorded it. In this passage of God's word, God has recorded it. Whenever Reuben came back, let me tell you, when Reuben came back, his plan had been foiled. He wanted to deliver his brother and send him home. His plan had been foiled. But what does this passage tell me? And what does the story of Joseph tell me? Reuben's plans misfired, but God's plans hadn't. Back to what our brother talked about, the sovereignty of God. God was sovereign in all of these things. You know what God did? God recorded their actions. Listen, God recorded their words. Their very words. The very words that Reuben spoke to his brothers, begging to save Joseph's life. God heard every one of them. God recorded every one of them. And God knew everything that happened to Joseph. What does that say to me? God hadn't abandoned Joseph. But God was there. All the time. God was there all the time. And then here's the lesson. God knows everything that's happening to you. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're facing today. Young person, let me tell you, God knows what you're facing in college or whatever you're doing in the place of work. God knows the difficulties. God knows the problems. And what we see in the story of Joseph is this, that God is able to deliver. But God will fulfill His plan. And that deliverance comes in God's time. The Word of God says, Paul writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, we know that all things work together for good. Not some things. Not most things. All things. And God knew the right time to intervene. Listen, don't run ahead of God. Abram and Sarah had no children. Sarah decided a plan to have a child. God had promised Sarah and Abram seed. And friend, they ran ahead of God and they brought to their lives, their family, their home, heartache. They couldn't wait on God. Don't try to take it out of God's hands, friend. Maybe you're in a situation today and you're taking it out of God's hands and somehow you feel you've got to do something. Trust Him. God's way, God's time is the best. He knoweth.